Planning and Development Committee. This is a committee that focuses on ensuring effective planning related to the district's strategic plan, demographic planning, facility planning, and budget planning, and the ongoing review of policies related to these functions. The committee co-chairs are Ed Hughes and Marge Passman. First discussion item is West High School pool construction project. And do I hand that over to you? Okay. You're on.
There's been a committee interested in building a new pool at West High for over a year. I'm sure you're familiar with the existing West High pool. Really isn't a very good facility. We tied the West High pool project into the master facility plan and told them that they needed to wait until that was published before they started any design efforts. That document came out several months ago. I think it was presented to the board. So since then, they've established a committee. The committee has been working on a feasibility study that's looking at how to build a pool there and what the cost would be. So this information is in your packets. This is the existing site plan, the unused tennis courts on Regent Street and the practice field. This shows the master plan with the project that they're proposing. That includes a parking deck, a new competition pool for the high school, as well as a community pool for all age groups. This shows just the impact on the site. If we were just to build a new pool solely for the purposes of the high school, no community use, no parking, this would basically replace the existing pool. We would have to come up with some ideas on renovation on the existing pool, but with just moving the function, we wouldn't get into all the issues of potential additional traffic with increased usage of the community pool. This drawing is trying to show the different phases. So theoretically, you could start out with a phase one and just build a new varsity pool, but you could not hold conference or state level meets there because you don't have the seating capacity. Another phase would be to add upper deck seating and a fitness area. And then the entire package, and the estimates were included, shows some community use pool that MSCI would run. But in order to do those extra functions, we had to address the parking issue, which gets into the parking deck. So the committee is looking for permission to begin fundraising efforts. They'd also like some guidance if the board is on board with the project, and if they're on board with the entire project. I think the estimate was $17 million. Or if the board is on board with just the new varsity pool, which is about $8 million. There was a meeting today with the pool steering committee, and that's their question. Can they start fundraising efforts?
All right, Madam President, Trustee Pressman.
I have a couple of questions. Who is the committee, and is the expectation that they'll fundraise for the entire amount, or
is that's our communication to them, that there's no district funds currently identified for this pool.
Who are they? Are they community?
Yeah, booster people, some neighborhood people, West High School staff.
Who's leading the committee? Who's leading it?
I don't have the list of the names with me.
I know a few of the names.
Yeah, go on, because I don't have a list.
Do you know the head of the committee?
Well, I think there's two main parents. One's Deb Elsis, and I don't know the other one as well. Both are parents of swimmers, high school swimmers. There's been coaches of the high school, so they're not always at every meeting. There's Ed Holmes, principal.
I think what I'd prefer, rather than take the time to think through where they are, why don't we just provide them in the update to you?
Yeah.
You need to know where the names
are.
Yeah,
we have that.
All right, Ms. Lafayette.
Also in the update, I guess what I'd be interested in knowing is it's hard for me to know if I support something without knowing what the anticipated strategy would be. Only $8 million in this time is a lot, and only $17 million in this time is really a lot. So I guess it's really hard for me to get my head around. I suppose I could support something in theory pending full, accomplished fundraising, but I also would want some thought about what the equity implications would be and how this facility would compare to what we would do at any other school.
Can I answer part of that? I know there's no parking. That was clear about it, Wes. Having parked 2 miles away on numerous occasions and walked there. And I think the students have a pretty awful time. But you can answer more, of course. I hope you will, Sarah. The other issue is the pool's falling apart. It's pretty bad now. And the equity issue is that Wes is the bottom of the pile right now. So that's another situation. And I agree with you. We'd have to agree on theory now rather than anything else, because who knows how much money is going to come in. They've been very successful a few years ago in redoing the entire auditorium, which I think cost a very minimal amount, did it, if anything?
I'm not aware of the cost.
Yeah. It was privately put together funds. Everybody donated a certain amount of money from the school. I think it would certainly be a tremendous help to staff members to have a decent place to park, rather than worry about running out every 2 hours or something like that. So, the potential for helping the staff and helping the students and bringing the community in is wonderful. But that's a lot of money to ask our city. That's my personal feeling.
I guess my question about equity, anecdotally, they may be at the bottom, but I'd like to see some more formal comparative analysis than we think it's bad, because I think if you talk to many parents who are involved in swimming, there are problems with many of the pools. I just would like to, see something a little more formal than I know somebody who swims there and it sucks. I just would like to have a formal facilities analysis of what's needed.
Can I respond to that real quick? There is a formal proposal coming. I saw the draft of it today. I don't know. I think it's projected to be done in 2 weeks, which would be the next piece you would see, the final feasibility packet with the data in it.
Sarah, would you give us a student's perspective, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, as it's already been said, parking is a huge issue at West. I don't drive to school, but I'm going to be in the next couple of years, and I'm already worrying about where I'm going to park, because there really is absolutely no parking. I have friends who get to school at literally 5:45 in order to get a parking spot and just stay at school until then. So in terms of a parking lot, that would obviously be beneficial. And the same thing with a pool. But as it was said, obviously you can't just think of the benefits for students at West, but also I'm wondering if having this pool would also benefit other high schoolers in Madison, as this could be a place where there could be competitions that swim teams from other schools could come to the school. And I'm sure that although maybe it isn't in their neighborhood, driving to West is easier than driving to another community outside of Madison for their swim meet. I'm not sure exactly, I don't know, but
hello there, Beth. Oh, I didn't see you. You're absolutely right. Thank you.
And also, in terms of a community pool, would this be something that could bring in revenue for the school district? Or I'm wondering what its use would be in terms of a community pool. My family's been involved in club swimming, and a lot of the larger meets or larger competitions are at Middleton, and the clubs do pay rent to Middleton High School for those competitions, and it's they're used sometimes for whole weekends, and I know the rent is very high, so that would be a use for a pool, even just a 8-lane pool, there were a diving well. I believe the only diving well is also in Middleton. And all the dive teams have their practices. All the dive teams from this area have their practices at Middleton School. And I know that West is, out of our four larger high schools, I believe it is the worst pool. I think it's in the worst condition.
Memorial is not great, but it's at least you can stand to be in the room for more than about 15 minutes. I think there was a UV system put in, is that right, Lucy, that was paid for partially by a club? And I was just wondering about the committee putting together or working with the clubs in town and also the city. Is the city going to be willing to help us out with this or help the fundraisers out with this, I should say?
The UV system was paid for by MSBR and the parent booster club, not the private swim club.
All right, Ms. Cole and then Mr. Hughes.
Well, I kind of wanted to take it in a slightly different direction. When I was looking at the West facility plan, Doug, the phases that we were going to do for the field looked a little different. So what I was trying to figure out is, does this match with what you were thinking of? Because I assume that you have a lot of knowledge about this, about how we were going to phase all these facilities in, because, you know, I'd hope that this is something that you think is doable, first of all. You know, just so I can get an idea of this isn't too different than, it looked like there was a track and football stadium that was phase one. So can you just address that real quickly?
Facility plan. Mm-hmm. We had to sort of corral the committee as they continued to discuss this. Well, what happens to the practice field? Well, should we be talking about a varsity competition field across the street? So we mm-hmm. tried to focus their scope on the pool.
Mm-hmm.
I think at a certain point, if the fundraising becomes a reality, say they get to 50% of the project, mm-hmm. we need to start having discussions with the East High Athletic and Phi Ed staff about redoing the practice field so it's functional for the school. I don't think it's practical to think about having varsity competition events at West. They would still be at Mansfield. But those discussions about renovations of that practice field, I think, would happen after they get some money.
So this other direction, I have been trying to get an idea of how this affects all the other sports, because I think from our perspective, when we think of football fields and there's soccer players and track people on there and, you know, the pool just has one group that's using it, although it would be nice for the community. My biggest concern right now is that, if I understand this correctly, we have multiple sports, and this came up through my committee last year, and I think track and field is one of them where they have to take the kids to Memorial in order to practice because we no longer really have a facility for the field events. And so for me, my biggest concern about moving forward with this, especially with parking, is that we continue that safety issue where we're not transporting students as a school district. We're basically having high school students get in cars and transporting themselves. And that just concerns me a bit. John Olson came to the Community Partnerships Committee and talking about that he used to work for the felt real strongly that we at least begin the discussion about kids transporting themselves. And, you know, I think student athletics is very important, and so I just want part of the conversation to be not only the pool and meeting the needs of teachers, but also that we don't do a disservice to the other athletes, you know, that we, and maybe that's what you were getting at, I'm not sure, but, you know, we can't forget the fact that we are already transporting a lot of kids, and it's probably more kids that are participating in track and field than are in swimming at West, is my guess.
The majority of the West sports practice elsewhere. Is it involved? Gymnastics does, and then all of the soccer teams practice at other fields. Some are two bus rides away because the city has decided not to let us use some of the fields that were being used in the past. So it's problematic, and I think the same is true for East. I know you have the Demetral Field, that's
mm-hmm.
just, but that's pretty dangerous. I mean, it's not
The Francis Fields themselves are in very dangerous condition, as is Mansfield.
Yeah, I would like to echo some of Lucy's comments. I don't feel that we can, or I can take any position on this. If someone said, here's, we have a funder, you know, someone's contributing $17 million to build this project, we'd say, great. You know, we'll be there with the shovels for the grand opening. But if it's not that, then there's no way to consider it, I think, without looking into the context of what our overall facilities needs are. I know there's a group at East that's looking to raise money for the redo the theater. And you can have quite a discussion as to whether the West Pool or the East Theater is worse and what most needs what most needs our help. But I mean, there's got to be some kind of overall facilities plan before we can say that this is where we want to devote our resources if it takes our resources, I think.
Two things. First of all, I want to say, in terms of who would be using this pool, it's also important to remember that a lot of there are some classes at West that could use the pool, such as like health classes, gym classes, and then if there is going to be this other exercise room or fitness room, I could see that being incorporated into even, you know, other classes, maybe dance classes, theater classes. And then another thing, I was just wondering if the money is made and if this project goes ahead, what's the timeline and when was it possibly going to be started, completed?
Okay, Ms. Colvin, then. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to reiterate that I think that I feel more comfortable if we look at this as the entire district. And I agree with many of you that, you know, if we get $17 million, rah-rah, that's great. But when you look at our district in general, as a board, I would rather have stick with some sort of plan with you in mind, because you know these facilities in these buildings, and at the same time work with folks like John Olson or others that have kind of tackled some of this athletic stuff and gotten funding. You know, what I would say is that, and this is a shot across the bow, but, you know, we're looking at the city doing a Central Park, and maybe they should be looking at investing in the schools that we have and, you know, giving kids an opportunity to have fields so they don't have to get in cars. And, you know, I think the city loses the fact that when kids want to participate in sports, a lot of times they can't even start practice until 5. And so when we start talking about academic achievement, a lot of this is because our kids don't have a place to even play next to our school. And a lot of the elementary schools are basically concrete. So I think you're doing a great job, and I think that planning is the way to go, but I also think that we're not getting a lot of support from the city in general, and everyone uses school grounds in one way or another, through MSPR, to after school, to daycare providers, and we're pretty generous in letting folks use our facilities, so I just wanted to mention that. Hoping that somebody's out there watching and listening. Thanks.
Okay, I think Silvera first, Winston, and then Ms. Moore.
I just have a quick comment. I certainly and personally understand the need at West for a pool and certainly for parking. It would make my life easier in the morning every day without my daughter having to leave so early just so she can park and read her book. But I think it would be really helpful just to have a bit more information, and maybe that's coming in the proposal that you talked about, Ms. Chafin.
Yeah, it's the final, you know, document, which is the feasibility study, is in a draft form, and we're going to have it in 2 weeks. I guess what we just need to know for sure is should we keep moving ahead, and then when we get the final document, would that be when you give the committee, I'm on the committee, but give the committee the
This would be some advice for your consideration, and that is that I think we need to come back with that plan and a response to your questions. And then I think at that point in time, you'll be in a position of being able to provide feedback around the project. I want to be very clear, as staff, we have looked at this as no district funds involved. At the same time, we know this is a huge dollar amount, and there's a lot of competition for scarce resources today. But I've been taking careful notes about your questions about fundraising, about this whole issue of timeline, and all the things that you have mentioned. And I think we have to provide you some more information. And I'd like to do that once that plan is articulated. And I think that committee needs to be part of the next presentation. So you understand who those stakeholders are that are wanting to make this commitment.
Exactly. I'd be interested if there's, you know, revenue generation possibility, be it renting the pool or parking spaces for football Saturdays or whatever the case may be, or do you sell parking spaces to students, those types of things that would help us, that would come back to the district in the future.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to, first of all, I think that as a district we are going to have to continue to look at private types of donations to do some of the things that we want to do in terms of our facilities. I just don't see the tax dollars being there, continuing to go to referendum, and that's, when we're talking big dollars, that's the way I see this. So I do think that this is something that we ought to do in terms of if this process goes ahead. But I would be, I guess, a little bit cautious about, again, being up front with anybody who wants to do these types of things, capital items for our facilities, things like that. There are no district dollars, as far as I know, that can be expended for these kinds of things. I think people need to know that before the tiles are laid and the bricks are, and all that, those kind of things. I think people need to know that.
Okay.
But I do want to ask, had there been any talk, and I guess I'd be asking Mr. Pearson here, have there been any talk about redoing the existing pool? I look at the price tag here. That's pretty large, and I know it also has some other things involved, but have they looked at, again, and I know there's a master plan for West, and I know a pool was involved and things like that, but in terms of price tag, have there been any thoughts of redoing the existing pool, doing some different things, maybe timeline would be quicker?
We've done some feasibility studies just to try and to renovate the existing pool. The problem is space. Where do you put adequate seating for competition events? The addition is either out towards Regent or back towards the courtyard, and we tried to lay out some scenarios, and none of it really was just a band-aid to a pad pool. So in the master plan, they really addressed relocation and a whole new pool.
And with that, obviously, then West High School, you would move part of this new plan. There's not plans for two pools, is there? Is just plans for the one pool?
Right, and then the existing pool would be converted to education.
Yeah, I appreciate Ms. Silvera and Mr. Winston's comments because I really do want to make sure that we give the public the impression that we are open to things like this. And I do know that we need the facilities, the strategic planning for facilities throughout the district. But also, if they are willing and able to raise that kind of money, then I think we need to be open to it and encourage it. I would also like, as far as, I know Superintendent Nera was writing some things down, I would really like to see, maybe not the feasibility study for the old, renovating the old pool, but what kind of use will there be for this pool? Who's planning on using it? How is the old one used now? How is this going to improve the situation in the old pool? Is the only thing we'll be getting out of it more seating. Because, like I said, I know the UV system was replaced, so it's safer. I know the air circulation is safer than it has been. So I'd just like to know, have that kind of information.
Okay. Mr.
Fire. I'm not sure who to address this to. I noticed at the very last page of this document with the West Aquatic Facility schematics on it has a work plan that involves presentation of concept design to Alders in September, Neighborhood Association September and October, high school staff November, City of Madison December. Can you explain to me why it is just now coming to the Board of Education?
I can explain. It was my sense when I had the last update, not knowing all those factors, that it needed to get to the board as soon as possible. Now, that's the best I can explain, and that is as soon as I had, this is a group that is looking to raise $8 million, $17 million, it was my judgment that it needed to be put before you. That's without the knowledge about the other groups.
Yeah. Okay. That, I mean, I appreciate getting this now. Yeah. I frankly don't think it's ready for prime time, which is, I think, sort of the message here. Yeah. But I have to say that given that the discussions go back starting in June, it might have been nice to have a little foreshadowing with the board a few months ago, because I don't see how you plan to get this achieved without board approval. So it seems to me you would have wanted us on board from day one, not at a point where you bring us up not ready for prime time expensive projects. I'm not saying that this is dead in the water, because it isn't, but I just find it very curious that this has gone before the planning and zoning and urban design and landmarks and fire and engineering in December. Okay.
Okay.
That's good.
It was put back based on the
year. Any of these, this is a meeting with the staff members to get initial feedback from the city if this is even doable. So that these this item isn't on any of these full city committee agendas.
That may be the case, but again, I just, for future reference, I guess my personal preference, and I speak only for myself, would be that there would have been some conversation or a heads up or a something, and I know the superintendent is good about giving us stuff and updates, you know, as he sees fit, but it's just sort of surprising to have the schematics in hand and then see that long list of planning and what are we, cap liver?
Okay. Anyone have anything else to add to this discussion? We can move on to Mark D. Superintendent, do you want to talk to, or someone want to talk to?
I want Eric to just briefly explain the document before you.
Okay.
Briefly.
For the most part, the 2009-10 budget timeline is the same, with a couple additions that I would just like to highlight. At the end of the 2009-10 budget timeline, there's two additions. Number one being the strategic plan item under task. What we wanted to do is give ourselves some time once the strategic plan is completed to identify any needs or areas where budget shifts or reallocations could be made after preliminary board approval in May of 2009. That would allow us that three-month window to come back with budget amendments, working through the committees and boards in the months of July, August, and September prior to October board approval of the final budget, allows a little bit of that flexibility. And then for the first time, the final budget approval is on here. It's not a an oversight in the past necessarily, but it's just tied in that preliminary budget approval, which would be in May, and then looked at the previous years and that Monday in October that's been targeted by the board and administration for final budget approval to put that on there. Now, these dates, again, are not set in stone by any means. We do, as administration, adhere to those dates, but there is definitely flexibility among those dates.
Mr. Mathias?
A couple things, and I'm glad to hear that there's flexibility, and I understand that this is, you know, probably has an invisible draft going running through it. When we got down towards the bottom of the page, where it says board budget deliberations and their public forums, I'd urge us all to take a look at the calendar. I believe the first week of April is Easter and Passover, which is typically not a great time.
Spring break is the second.
April 2nd?
The second week.
Yeah.
Second week.
So I would just take a look at those dates to make sure that we're not hitting cultural and religious holidays.
Sure.
As a board member, I would prefer to get the balanced budget before the public forums.
Right.
I don't know why. Call me crazy. But it might be just a little bit helpful. And then I'm not sure as we go down there, when we hit strategic plan, identify reallocations through the planning process, I'm not sure I understand the difference between preparing a balanced budget document and identifying reallocations through planning. Is it possible? I mean...
Well, the balanced budget, when you talk about the balanced budget, the board approves a preliminary tax levy and budget in May, which allows administration the authority to spend when July 1 rolls around. Then statutorily, with the DPI's guidelines and state laws, we don't get our aid certified until October 15th every year. So then sometime after that, before November 1st, we have to have the board approve a final budget. So between that preliminary budget approval in May and that final approval in October, that's when all those budget amendments kind of roll out and are brought forward to the Board of Education. Our intent was to put something in this budget timeline that shows that we have a commitment if the strategic plan shows that allocations or reallocations need to happen, that we're committed to allowing that to happen through that process. It's not saying that it's going to happen or it's not going to happen, but we wanted to bring forward that it could possibly happen, and we wanted a placeholder in there to let the board know that there may be budget amendments that come out of that strategic planning process that have not been there before.
That makes a certain amount of sense, and this is actually helpful when I see it's July 1st through September 30th. The one thing I'd say is that in my experience, the process of creating that balanced budget that we do in May usually ends up involving some very some discussions that get a little touchy. And I would hate to go through that and then later on have to undo that because of the strategic plan. So I'm wondering if there's like a way to foreshadow what's going to come out of strategic planning before we do that May process so that what we're doing aligns. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I don't
want
to agonize over the budget and where can we find $30,000 if, in fact, there's a completely different way to work it that you're going to be presenting later on.
Right. We may be able to foreshadow some of that. But the other thing I guess I would want you to know from my perspective, that it's a placeholder if there are some immediate things that we can do. I think it's actually the following year where the more substantial judgments would be made regarding the strategic plan as it goes to budget. So I just want you to know it's not like taking every recommendation in the strategic plan and then go finding a place you can get it from another program at that point, because that's impossible at that point.
Now, I appreciate it. I think for those of us who have been through some really ugly budgets, the idea of going through it and then having to revisit is really... like fingernails on a chalkboard. Please make it stop.
Any other comments? Questions? Sarah?
This might just be because I'm not familiar with the budget thing, and I apologize if this is something everybody else knows. But I was just wondering, it was interesting that the date for the final approval budget for the 2009 to 10 school year is after the school year has already begun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's correct. That's what I was alluding to earlier, is that the state of Wisconsin doesn't inform school districts until October 15th every year how much money is allocated.
So because of that date, we can't finalize our budget until they appropriate that money to it.
And that also means we do a lot of stuff. We do some juggling in when we set the budget in May so that we dip into contingency to cover things that we know we'll have state aid for, but we have to have a way to pay for them. So there's some mechanical things we do in the process, and then there are some decisions about how much and where and
so forth. Let's go.
Just real quick, being on the committee before that kind of handled this, I was wondering a couple things. One was, where do you foresee the citizens' budget being in here? And it's not that I have a penchant for the citizens' budget. It's more that I think it's a good idea to keep moving in that direction of making sure that the public understands the budget besides just the public forum. You know, something that gives you an overall picture. And I know that in meetings past, you said that you were going to be working on kind of presenting something to the board that looks a little more clear or succinct. You had your own ideas, and I want to encourage you to keep bringing new ideas, so because you really helped us out in that referendum. So where would that be in this process?
That's a great question. As far as the citizens' budget, that's something new to me. But I know that Donna is working on that currently, and I don't know the exact timelines, but that's a great point that we should have in here timelines for that citizens' budget and how that rolls out so that we allow you to know and allow the community to know that these are the timelines we're going to adhere to for providing that information to you in a way that the community can understand.
But yeah, getting back to possible to add that for the update,
yeah.
that line?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A point of information, when we developed the citizens budget last year, I believe that Donna worked to align a lot of the budgeting categories, and so it's less of an issue than it may appear. It's just not in that chart.
Sure.
And probably could be. I would check with Donna, but as I recall, things were set up so that it was not a new process. It was something that just could be generated.
Right, I think there's a computer program that does most
of
that work, but
she's
working on making sure that it was balanced and it made sense currently. So.
Okay,
I just had one comment that concerned me when I saw it, layoffs to the Board of Education.
Hmm?
I don't think you can do that.
How can we volunteer? It's a little bit of humor.
Paren, if any.
Okay, what's that?
Paren, if any.
Yeah, well, right. Okay.
Volunteers.
Was that it?
That was it.
Okay. Yes. No, she's helping me here. My peripheral vision here needs improvement.
I want to make sure, I agree with Ms. Mfayek on her first point, or on the second point about the strategic plan, the allocations through the strategic plan. I just wanted to make sure that the first budget they will be receiving will be following the ideas or the plan for the plan. Is that the case? Okay.
Well, the problem is at point in time, because from the January meetings we go into action planning, and that takes 2 to 3 months.
Okay.
And so we'll work, I guess we'll do everything humanly possible to foreshadow that as part of it, because I get the point that you just don't want to adjust and then adjust.
Well, guess what? We really need
That's not lost on me. Yeah. I mean, to the point where if we can't really well predict, that those may all fall into, let's look at that for the following year.
Okay.
As long as you understand that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anything on? Ready to move on to strategic plan update. I'm fine. Okay.
I'll be very brief.
Please.
This is just to let you know that the invitations are out there. We have 34 people that have indicated yes. 9 have said no, mainly because of their time commitments. And we are still working with the remaining 25 people in terms of their acceptance. And so I'll keep you updated through the weekly update on the membership. The other thing is that we do have an opportunity to meet the facilitator on the 13th at 5:00 p.m. And there was a request made tonight that we consider moving that to the Goodman Center because of people who want to arrive late there. So we'll take a look at that. I don't foreshadow a problem with that. But I guess I just want to communicate that we're getting a good response, but we have a little bit more work to do, obviously, with the remaining 25, and our goal is over the next couple of days.
Yeah, I would say I was the one that brought that, requested that, because I don't want it to arrive late at the Goodman Center. There's only a 15-minute interval there. We could have lots of questions for the facilitator. And I also think it's time, it's good to be there ahead of time anyway, just to meet people, greet them, rather than just rush right in to the meeting. So if others wouldn't mind, I would appreciate it. I don't know about Ed, but, you know, since we're going to be there anyway, we would. All right, that's the reason I requested it. So, any other comments on strategic plan? Will you, do you think you will be needing any more names from us? And if so, how would you request them?
Here's what we'll do is we'll if we have a need for names, we'll come out with another request via email very quickly.
Okay.
I don't think that's going to be necessary, but if it is, that's how we'll do it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Ed, do you want to take over this group of this discussion now, or do you want me to continue? It's up to you. I'd like to share it.
Sure, if you want me to.
Go ahead.
All right, let's go to action items for the January 12th regular board meeting. Revisions to the college board policy. Decisions that we have already made, although I think that there is room for clarification and changes for in some of the wording. Rather than attempting to go through them one by one, should we just open the floor for discussion about comments that people might have about them, since I expect that everyone's read them and is familiar with what the intended intent of the changes are?
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Thank you. Okay.
There were some concerns that were voiced to me by a couple of people on the way the draft policy captured the school liaison role. And I think part of the reason was that it was, abbreviated so much. The intent was of the guidelines and the discussions that we had on that topic was probably lost when it was boiled down to just a couple of sentences. And it was also recommended, I think it was by either Ms. Mathiak or Ms. Passman, that we really need to reflect that it's not only going and getting information, but we have to regularly, or we should report back. And, depending upon what we report back, committees may want to, take up specific topics. I went back to the guidance document that we approved in November that the superintendent had provided us, and it was in a bit more detail. And I think the intent is the same as the draft policy, but it just gave a little more detail. And I'm just going to circulate it for consideration I know we're not voting, but, as we look into it, because I think it might capture the intent a little more than the draft policy. Do you have one more?
Oh, read some more down here.
And again, the wording in the revision for consideration is from the guidance document that the superintendent had provided us, with the exception of, I added, results of the school visits will be communicated to the entire board on a regular basis. I stayed away from putting how, because we may change that over time. I didn't want to be tied into a tactic and a policy, but I think that's something that we would need to have a discussion on it. What types of information we wanted to capture, how we wanted to communicate it, but I didn't think it had to be reflected, all those specifics in the policy. So anyway, that was my response, because I know people were concerned that we were just going to be visiting schools and
We weren't quite sure what was going to happen with that.
If I could add, just for your understanding, that I am absolutely fine with this revision. I mean, I think it captures it in a more complete way. I'm totally comfortable.
Yes, Ms. Mott.
Yeah, thank you. I was wondering, I would really like, and I don't think it's necessary, the one negative statement, it is not the intent of the liaison role for the board member to become a first-level problem solver for school-specific complaints. Because for me, this was a very positive role for us, and then I was reading it, and I thought, wow, that's great, and then there's the negative. I mean, maybe I'm just being unrealistic that it needs to be in there, but I don't really see the purpose of having that negative statement, not the intent.
If I could, do you want me to respond to that, at least from a staff point of view? It was to not only make it, as you know, you've already approved the plan, so I mean, and that was in that document, but the intent was to make it clear to other people, you know, in terms of your presence in the school. I don't have an objection to that not being in, to having that removed, as long as we have an understanding as to how this works. That's all. I mean, that's the only thing I'm asking for. It doesn't have to be there in wording.
Cool.
Well, one thing just to know anecdotally is that I found it interesting as a board member that as soon as these were put online, under our names, it has the list of schools. I got one or two phone calls specifically from folks in the community that were affiliated with schools that I'm the liaison to, thinking that I'm the next person to go to discuss that. And you know, I want to say I'm happy to do that. I have to tell my kids to go away because it's usually like a 15 or 20 minute conversation. But that's the other side of this, is that, you know, it's all about communication, and how do we communicate that to the public that they follow a certain line.
Could we just continue that as a case study? Because in fact, with that contact, you immediately contacted me, and I got staff involved. So I would just tell you, it worked just the way it should work. And so as long as we kind of have that working understanding, and I'm just trying to not create additional pressures for you in many ways, and to help other people understand what they should do, and helping you understand the schools and what may be a problem. I don't have a need that it's there. Just, again, because if we just understand that as a case, it worked real well.
Mr. Winston? Pardon?
I thought there was somebody else that was before me.
No.
All right, thank you very much. I do want to say that I think this is a great idea. I think in terms of this liaison role, I think that it's important as board members that we go out to schools, programs, see people, talk to people. I'm concerned about coming back to board meetings. And unless we have a defined criteria of what board members are going to talk about, I would be concerned about, number one, time, because I know everybody here is working or has other responsibilities and things like that. We could talk all night long about our schools, and we could be here. But also, too, what Ms. Cole also brought forth in terms of people having an idea of what, in essence, our role is or isn't. We're solving this school's problems. Go to this board member, and they'll take care of it. Well, that's not what we're doing. I'm just concerned about what we, in essence, bring back to the board. And if other board members want to talk about the school that they go to and things like that, I mean, that's fine. I just think it needs to be defined of what we do. Because also, I want to be cognizant of the time that we have as well, and really get down to the policy making of the board and not really, you know, talk about other things that, again, are good, but I just don't know if this is the forum to do that in.
The
goddess, the lead goddess.
correct me if I'm wrong, but we had this discussion when we talked about creating these liaison roles, and hadn't we talked about, rather than having reports in board meetings, if you went out to a school and you ran into something that was noteworthy or, you know, whatever, that you would send an email out, not for discussion, but just a sort of a summary of some things that you wanted to share with the rest of the board as a result of your visit. So it's not about long conversations and meetings, but it's not about violating open meeting laws or solving any particular school's problems, but rather a way of saying, I was out, I visited, these are some things that the parents are worried about right now. This is, you know, what the school is doing, so that everybody has that knowledge as opposed to one person having it. And
It was very similar to what we did for the referendum meetings we went to.
Yeah.
Filling people in on how many people were there, what we saw, what we did, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we need. If we needed more, we could do an update through Barb. And it can come in writing. But I think that would be fine, just a brief email of what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't mean to confuse the issue when I said about, you know, committee meetings. I meant sharing it, email or in the packet, but if something was really cool and we wanted to highlight it or, you know, bring in a kid for a meeting or, you know, something like that, I really would not feel comfortable sitting here and saying, okay, let's talk about everything you saw at school XYZ.
Thank you for that clarification.
I'm sorry.
I thought maybe that was the issue.
Misled you. But you are West, so I want to see how you're going to get the pool.
Would it make sense to say, instead of results of school visits will be communicated, say issues raised by school visits may, if appropriate, be referred to the Academic Achievement Committee or whatever? That would appropriately be referred.
We should refer everything to their committee.
Okay, to the
I don't
money.
Committee.
Yeah, it could be a planning problem or a facilities problem.
I think the superintendent can handle all that.
Well, should we say something, or we should either say something or nothing? Those are good choices, right?
They're inclusive.
Right. I do like having it's not the intent that we become first level problem solvers to be included in there, because that's kind of for our protection. And if someone's really giving us a hard time and we say that's not our role, they say, what do you mean it's not our role? It would be nice to be able to say, well, you can refer, please, to policy 1031.
I think the last sentence is fine. I think that's...
Okay. Can I add to that, Ed? It seems to me one of the other pieces is that we're the freshman class that's implementing these liaison roles, and so we sort of know, because we're here at the table during the discussion, for future classes of board members, it will be helpful to have that little. I agree with Jeff. I'm not. Yeah, you know, it's a negative wording, right? You know, so it's that part of. But when I think about institutional memory, it may be very helpful for future groups.
Yeah,
too.
Okay, I think we have a sense of that one. One, concerns have been raised about, on page 3, paragraph, or number 3A, who is entitled, how meetings of standing committees be scheduled, and it seems as if it might make sense for meetings to be scheduled by the co-chairs without requiring a vote of the board. Is that... I mean, as long as they're properly noticed, but in terms of scheduling.
So I think for a committee meeting, you can grant such authority to the committee co-chairs if you like. It's just a question of how many meetings might you have if a particular... committee is gung-ho and ready to meet every couple of weeks, and the co-chairs are saying, here, let me. It depends on how you want to balance that out, whether it's as the board or as co-chairs.
I guess, you know, I've seen it both ways, and frankly, in my experience, when a chair wants to meet too often, the committee revolts, and I imagine that there would be signals from committee members, or there would be a lack of quorum. I don't imagine anybody at this table wanting to meet lots and lots and lots for no good reason. What concerned me when I read this is that this puts us in a situation where if we needed to have, for example, if we needed to do something in short order, if something was time sensitive that needed to come through operations, there's no mechanism for scheduling the meeting because you have to have a meeting to vote to have a meeting, which is sort of a conundrum.
Well, I think there if you had a time sensitive matter, you would just handle it as the board, with the board president who has the statutory authority to call a special meeting and just address it. Because, again, the distinction between committees and the board is blurred right now as it is with committees as a whole. So if it was a time-sensitive matter, you just, I think, handle it as the board.
Well, with all due respect, I would prefer to respect the role of board members as chairs of committees.
Do we agree on that, or do people disagree? Then let's...
But I thought we were kind of going this new model, in essence, has us taking items within the committee and then, in essence, the following week voting as an entire board. And I guess I would be concerned that, you know, I don't want people to kind of go off and do their own thing. I mean, this is this is a new day and age now, and the committee doesn't just tie up the committee and ties up the whole board, because everybody comes to the meetings now. We're a committee of the whole. And so I guess I would be concerned that, you know, I don't think people should just, our board should just be scheduling meetings without it flowing with everyone's meetings. I'd be concerned with that. I really would. I understand that people want to meet and have topics they want to discuss and things like that, but I think everything needs to all flow together.
Let me give you an example of why I'm concerned. Last year when I was chairing finance and operations, we had on a couple of occasions administration come to us because there were major time-sensitive purchases that needed to be covered. And I think on one occasion we did schedule an additional meeting because we needed to vet what we were doing before it came to the full board. We could do it either way. The president of the board could call an all-board meeting. You know, to me it's sort of crazy, because why would you have call a meeting of the board to vote to have a meeting? You've added another step in the process. These things don't come up all that often, but when they do, I don't want to be hamstrung, because we set up a mechanism where you can't possibly have another meeting because it's in the rules. You have to have a meeting to vote to have a meeting. And in the situations I'm talking about, we're talking about purchases that needed to be locked in by a date certain.
But then again, can't.
Could I? If I could, I agree with the idea that there may be times when something's needed because of timeliness issues. I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense to me. If this would help, I don't have a problem with the schedule by the co-chairs and in consideration of the remaining board member schedule. I mean, so you're going to check to see who's available.
And I also think, wouldn't it come in the form of a request rather than a demand? Can you make such and such a date? We need to do this.
Here's what we need to do. This is the time.
That's what I was just going to recommend. Something so it's not... A committee can't say, okay, we decided that every month we're going to meet Monday, you know, Tuesday and of the first week, and Wednesday, Thursday of the next week, and you know, on a regular basis. But it would be more for the
otherwise, I agree with Mr. Winston. It gets hard.
Any other thoughts on that particular one? Do you have sufficient guidance to...
What I heard was a coalescing opinion that it, the language should refer to, and I'm going to suggest that it's that the standing committee co-chairs may, or by majority vote of the committee or the board. So there's, in other words, we'll add the committee co-chairs rather than eliminate the other mechanism. And then secondly, to reference, particularly with respect to the committee co-chairs, with respect to time-sensitive or significant items of great importance or something. You know, we can work with that language, but we can provide some limiting.
Why do you delineate between a majority vote of the school board or of the committee? Isn't it the same thing?
Well, it is, except that you might be meeting as the board one night. Let's say it's the second Monday, and you're doing a regular board meeting. You might say, boy, that's whatever committee ought to meet. And so then you're operating as the board.
Okay, I get you.
Yeah.
With respect to the next one, subparagraph B, can we say that the co-chairs of each standing committee shall establish the agenda and work with designated staff liaison to prepare the agenda for each meeting of the committee?
Yes.
Okay.
I do want a clarification. What does that say that again?
You want me to say it again?
Yeah, I do. Please.
Co-chairs of each standing committee shall establish the agenda and work with designated staff liaison to prepare the agenda for each meeting of the committee.
Mm-hmm. So that the co-chairs are writing the agenda?
Well, they're determining what's on
it. I just want to make sure everyone.
They determine the subject matter, so I'm working with the staff to make sure it's implemented in terms of notice and the appropriate people and materials.
And to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks, if everything is ever happening.
Oh, sure, right.
And my question is it understood that, because of what I've asked of staff that are assigned to these is to have a scheduled time when they would meet. So it's predictable, it's close enough to the board meeting where there aren't surprises, that we can try to iron out that issue. That, I guess if that's understood, I can...
An established time for the committee meeting?
Yeah, I mean,
the chairs and staff to meet. Oh, sure.
You don't need to write that in there. I'm just
and that
saying,
could be a phone conference.
Yeah.
Or an email.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
But if you have something or your staff has something they want on the agenda when you have that meeting, that's when
it'll be brought up.
That's right. We would bring all the items that we had to that meeting.
Yeah. Okay. It's not that the administration doesn't have input. It's that the board members share the committee. Yeah, I'm just thinking.
All right.
Okay.
So that means that number four has to be looked at a little bit differently, too, doesn't it? On that same page?
See, number four, for me, was confusing, and it felt like administrivia. I mean, it's that's sort of an academic detail. We're talking about the mechanics of how things get prepared and noticed. And I don't know that it adds a lot unless it has to be in there for legal reasons.
Ms. Mathiak, I was having a heavy hand in the drafting. Largely agree with you. That language, although new to that placement, was just language that actually was in the old policy that I carried mm-hmm. over as neither significant nor not, and if there's consensus to eliminate it, I think it's generally understood that notices, agendas, et cetera, are communicated. So it was elsewhere in that policy. I think it was in the procedure section. Yeah. And I just didn't drop it.
Yeah, I think
but it could be.
More.
That same wording's in the, on 5B on the next policy as well.
Sure. Yep, same idea.
We would remove that as well.
Okay, are there any other areas?
Yeah, I've got a question on 5A on ad hoc committees and subcommittees. And again, I apologize. I was really having trouble reading this between the lines visually were really problematical for me. Can't explain it. It's just my issue. So I apologize.
But in 5A, we talk about the ability of the board to create and determine the composition of ad hoc committees and subcommittees as appropriate. This one feels sort of like it's maybe four paragraphs crammed into one. What confused me was the very towards the end where it says, for purposes of this paragraph, the term ad hoc committee or subcommittee includes a task force or similar advisory committee. The board reserves the right to dissolve any ad hoc committee, blah, blah, blah. But since our committees are all board members, it wasn't clear to me that ad hoc committees or task forces, because they're a part of ad hoc committees, the task forces could be established along the lines of the Fine Arts Task Force or the Math Task Force or others that have involved community or even the strategic planning group. And so, in general, if we could parse this out a little bit more, I'd probably be happier. But second of all, if we could clarify whether or not this allows us to establish working groups or task forces that don't involve board members and staff, I would appreciate that.
Let me explain my thinking, which was the initial policy 1031 is the reference to standing committees, which are unique in that they are committees as a whole, and that board policy expressly establishes them as a type of committee, and by definition of a standing committee of the three, those are the ones that are committees of the whole. The next policy deals with any other type of committee which doesn't similarly limit membership to just the board. It doesn't reference them as being committees of the whole. It could be, I think the important sentence is, except where a different process is expressly established. It's in the middle of 5A there.
Could that become 5B?
I could work on the breaking that out.
And get rid of 5B, because I think it just turned into a large blob in my head, and I couldn't sort it out.
Could we specify
this?
Membership may include citizen members. The composition is determined at the time it's created.
Yeah. When I look at, and I'm trying to figure out where this is, under page 17, order of business, I think what you're trying to do is streamline our agendas, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that I actually find helpful to have outlined, and especially because, again, I'm thinking of future generations of board members. Right now, I know sort of what's in it, but anybody who would be coming on new wouldn't necessarily know that, and it wouldn't be necessarily delineated anywhere. I don't see the harm in having it laid out this way, or at least
examples
that include the stuff that's already there. Some of these things are areas where we actually, for example, the examples of other reports to the board, other business, other financial transactions, that's the sort of stuff that, especially if you're a newbie, could be helpful to know that, just remind us and everybody.
I have a question about that also. Because in our next committee meeting, the operational support, we're going to be looking at the auditing, purchasing, transfers, and other financial transactions. So would that come under our committee report then in the regular meeting?
Based on what you approved earlier, unless it was a consent item, which would roll up to the purpose of the board meeting into one agenda.
discussed by committee. That's okay. It's discussed by committee, so you have a chance to ask questions about those items. But then, on the regular board agenda, all the consent items would roll into one, so you're only having to act one. Now, you don't have to do it that way. You could do each committee that consent, and you could change that, but that would be intent. But if it's not a consent item, if it's an action item, it should appear under your committee.
Dan, thanks for your work on this. I know it's hard. It's always hard dealing with these things. I'm trying to get things organized, but I think we're pretty clear on where we want to go now.
Could I do just one more? Because I'm on page 16, exclusion of members. That sentence that was added again seems odd to me, since the standing committees and board committees are the board. So by definition, we all can.
Here what we meant was those other committees. So if there was a math committee and that you wanted to appear at that, you could do that through your board role. We didn't mean the standing committees here.
So, or like city council.
Right.
Okay. Could we maybe have some examples again?
Task forces.
Yes.
Ad hoc committees, whatever they are, that don't include the full membership of the board. Something like
yeah,
that.
Something yeah. Something that, okay. That sort of makes it a little less, in part because that role is so.
Ms. Silvera?
Thank you. I have two very quick things. On page 10, number one, it says, the board in a unified school district, uppercase unified school district. I've never heard us referred to as a unified school district. Is that correct?
We are.
They are.
What are we unified?
But we're wonderful. Look at the
why is it? Why are we called it here? And why are we... I just have never heard it described.
The legal distinction there is that in a lot of old, what we call the old city school districts that used to be unified with city government. When you became your own school district, they became unified as opposed to common, and the key distinction is we don't have to have what are called annual meetings of the entire electorate.
Oh,
where
okay.
We all
so it's necessary to delineate it that way. Okay. I was just so curious. Very cool.
All right.
One more quick thing on page 17, order of business, and this is just really small. We had talked at one point about starting our meetings by having a different board members read the mission statement. Do we need to put that as part of the order of business, or is that just kind of a general, hi, here we're starting? That's not listed.
If you want to, I guess, memorialize it as an institution,
On page 21, part about public appearances, number 9, I guess if we're going to keep our meetings fluid like this and not stick to 1 hour, then having all the public appearances at the beginning of the first meeting would be fine. Are we going to rotate the order of meetings, or is the first committee always going to have public appearances at the beginning of their committee? And then at the end of the hour, will they feel pressure to finish, and then they'll have less time for their business?
I know that when we had our first or second meeting, we talked about this hour notion. But, I mean, it's very hard, number one, to say to that. But as I told you when we had those individual meetings, the goal is to have predominant time spent on student achievement issues in this framework. And so I don't have a problem with any order you want to have these in, as long as we work toward that goal of focusing on student achievement in defined ways, which I think we got a good start with tonight. I commend you for what you did tonight with that report and asking the questions. And so whatever the first committee would be, it would be the public appearances would appear there.
Okay. It will always be in the same order?
That's a
because there are times when we have public appearances for boundary changes or something that go on for 2 hours. Committee. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Or school meeting.
I just getting back to liaisons. Are all the principals now know about all this?
They all know.
And who their liaison is?
They all know.
So we can send out an email now and start setting up our connection.
You bet. Okay. You bet.
Just real quick. On 21, when it comes to public appearances, am I correct now that it looks like this paragraph is saying that the public can now speak about anything, even if it's not on the agenda, and that includes the regular meeting? So we've, just for clarification, we've kind of changed that structure.
Mm-hmm. No.
No, it's always been like that.
We did discuss it at one point.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm probably thinking of. Okay.
Then we remember the big flap over.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So wishing to promote freedom of speech.
Right. Right. We don't want to ever stop that. Okay. Okay. Good.
Okay. Are we done with the lightning round?
All right.
Okay. We're done.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you.
5 seconds.
Yeah.
Am I hearing a request for a bio break? 5 minutes. We will start promptly at 8:05 by that clock. And I mean, they don't call me the hanging community leader for nothing. Yeah.